The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from Ezekiel chapter 17. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off the topmost of its young twigs, a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it, that it may bear branches, produce fruit, and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest, and all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord, I have spoken, I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, not a house made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with our Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds in the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of our Lord. For today's lesson, I've chosen the Holy Gospel, and let me read it again. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Before we get into the parable, let's start at the end of our text. Why would Jesus speak to the people using parables, but teach his disciples in private? The word parable literally means to cast something parallel. Jesus' parables describe the nature and activity of the kingdom of God by comparing them with simple, everyday events from ordinary life. Jesus puts the common in direct juxtaposition with the uncommon, the seen with the unseen, the natural with the supernatural, and the human with the divine. Jesus is a master at using this parallelism to convey deep spiritual wisdom, especially in the face of opposition to his claims or resistance to his authority. Over and over, Jesus would speak of the kingdom of God. In story after story, he would reveal truth about the kingdom from an earthly perspective. I believe there were two reasons Jesus used parables. The first is that the people didn't study the scriptures. The Pharisees and Sadducees read and interpreted and then communicated that interpretation to the people. But the people did understand everyday events. The second is that the people were expecting an earthly Messiah, a king like David, someone to drive out the Romans and restore Israel to glory. Therefore, Jesus spoke in words that the people could understand. So the kingdom of God is not what Jesus' audience expected it to be, so he uses earthly parables so the people will listen and understand. In short, Jesus only reveals as much as they could understand. Jesus teaches people only as they can take it. This is also the rule upon which God works with us. And now to the parable, or really two parables about seeds rolled into one. A seed is a mysterious thing, a kernel of corn, a grain of wheat, a mustard seed. Take a seed in your hand, any seed, and examine it closely. Does it show any sign of life? To all indications, it is dead. It may indeed be hundreds of years old, and yet, plant it in good soil, water it, and leave it to germinate, and, quote, all by itself, as Jesus observed, the soil produces grain. Each seed contains instructions on how to reproduce itself. Not only that, but each seed contains its instructions for the next generation to do the same. In other words, a seed stretches out into the future, generation by generation. A seed also stretches into the past. Each seed contains the memory of the failures and successes of previous generations. This is the miracle of replication. In the parable, we are reminded that although a man may plant the seeds, he has no control over its sprouting and growing. He has to wait for the process to come to fruition. And once the grain is ripe, it is harvested. Now, the mustard seed is not the smallest seed on the planet. It could be that it was the smallest known in Israel or the smallest cultivated at that time. But that's not really the point. The phrase, quote, smallest of all seeds, is conversational, hyperbolic language, not scientific or statistical, and used to make a point. Black mustard is a shrub and even considered to be a weed by some and many in the Middle East. It can grow to 10 feet tall, plenty large for birds to nest in. And black mustard is still grown everywhere in Israel today and would be well known to the people listening to Jesus. So what is this parable telling us? The parable explains how the kingdom can start in the hearts and minds of each and every one of us. Someone, a minister, a parent, or another faithful servant of God plants a tiny seed of faith in each and every one of us. It doesn't matter how the seed is planted, only that it is planted. It could be a small seed, but once planted, it then grows without our intervention. It grows with the hearing of the word and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in the fullness of time, God's time, he will reap his harvest. Jesus reminds us we cannot short-circuit God's timing. Humbling as it may be, God has only commissioned us to sow the seed by sharing our knowledge of Jesus with other people. The results, the harvest of new souls and transformed lives, is the work of God. Mysterious, momentous, miraculous. Success in witnessing is sharing Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, leaving the results to God. It is very humbling, but reassuring principle that we can never talk to anyone into the kingdom of God. We are saved by grace through faith and not by argument or explanation. We spread the news, the seed of the kingdom. We scatter it on rocky soil, hard ground, thorny ground, or good soil. God is happy with spreading of that seed in any manner, formally or indiscriminately. Most importantly, it is sown and not left in the seed bag. In closing, only God can make the seed of the word germinate. Only God can bring us to new life. This is why we must have confidence in the seed, the word of God, and share it liberally, indiscriminately, widely, and repeatedly. Because it is living and active. It has great power to change lives, to transform whole communities, and to influence entire nations. Someday, God's sickle will slice through our world, our works will be harvested, and we will be held to account for what we have planted or failed to plant. What kind of seed are you planting? And now may the grace of God, which surpasses all understanding, strengthen our hearts and minds in the true faith.